make a confession of faith with me, please. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God.
Yes.
I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have been doing a study on the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight we've come to the fruit of gentleness. The fruit of gentleness. You will find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I hope you know these by now and can quote this, but it's on your overhead if you'd like to look at it with me. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, let's say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Another way to name the fruit is your conduct. It is your way of life, how you live. Amen. It's how you act, how you behave. What fruit do you display when you're talking to people? And what does your lifestyle reflect as a Christian? If we claim to be Christians and we're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, the Word of God tells us we are none of His. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to Christ. So it's imperative that as a Christian that you know what these fruit are and that you constantly work to develop these fruit in your life. You can belong to the church or you can belong to a denomination and still not belong to Jesus. We should all belong to Jesus, and the only way you can ever belong to Jesus is to be born again. And the Bible tells us that we are made partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Your flesh will betray you. We all have flesh. I don't care how sanctified you are. It will be a constant battle from the time you're born again till the time you make it home to glory to work on these fruits. So if you're failing, just dust yourself off, get back up. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We have an advocate, and He will restore us to righteousness. So this is to help you to grow and to mature in Christ Jesus. But Jesus is the true vine, and we become branches of that vine after the new birth. So the power that is in the vine is in you. The very life that is in the vine is in you. The very substance and the nature of God that is in that vine is inside of you. And you need to know that. Once you understand that you're the righteous of God and that you're not just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, I hit a nerve there. I don't sing, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I sing, I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Glory to God, He took my place. On the cross where He died, my sins to erase, I used to be a sinner, but I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved by grace. And you're saved by grace, and you're the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the temple of the living God. God said, I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And so once you see your position in Christ, it frees you from all condemnation. We are not under condemnation. But Romans 8 and 1, I haven't even got to my text yet. Romans 8 and 1, look at that. Romans 8 and 1, there's therefore now, say now. Now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't stop there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you have a constant desire in you, then you're not under any condemnation. If you make a mistake, you confess your sin. So we are not sinners. We are new creations in Christ, and that's our position. And once you see that, you will understand what it is to walk in victory. And if you never see that, you will never walk in victory. But I promise you that these fruit, you will have to work on them over and over and over and over again in your life At least I do. I'm a warrior. I have a warrior spirit about me. And I have to season that with the Spirit of God. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is with flesh and not with flesh and blood. It is against the devil. And you can be a warrior when it comes to him and his kingdom, but you got to love people when it comes to God and his people. Amen. Look at Matthew 7:17. Jesus said, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Say good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So when we are cleansed from sin by the power of the blood and we're born again by the power of the Spirit, the supernatural fruit of God begins to grow and flow out of our life. So I'll never forget when I was dating Teresa. Put 2 Peter 3:18 up there. I was dating Teresa, and it was Valentine's Day one year, and her boyfriend, I wasn't dating, I was taking her to church. Her boyfriend, he bought her 12 beautiful red roses, long stem, and a big box of candy. And I showed up with a little plaque. It's in my office now, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. She might have thought I was crazy, but I got the prize. He didn't. So hallelujah. You fill in the blank. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's been good to me. Amen. But I wonder many times what she thought about me and some of the things I would do. Because, some people thought I was just too spiritually minded to be any earthly good. But I had a successful business career. I've achieved some things in life. So you can be happy in God, and you can be full of the Holy Ghost, and you can be spiritually minded and achieve. You know, I've heard people say, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. If you ever meet anybody like that, please send them my way. I want to learn what they know if they're that spiritual. Amen? But we belong to God, and we're to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 5:22-23 again. This is our basic text for this study. Look at it. Say it with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So tonight we're going to look at this fruit called gentleness. Now, we could be talking about our conduct, the way we act, the way we behave toward other people when we talk about this fruit. So look at Proverbs 16:32. I used to keep this scripture on my desk in a planner that I had when I worked in corporate America. I kept that there because there was cursing and people would get mad and they would get angry in the meetings. And I kept this to remind me of who I was. Look at this. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, when you're in a high-pressured business meeting and things are going on and you claim to be a Christian, people are watching you. And if you don't rule your spirit, they will understand it. And what the fruit of the Spirit helps us to do is to rule our spirit, because we know that we're to show love. We know that we're to have joy. We know that we're to be long-suffering with people. That's a good one. I like that one. Long-suffering. Amen. But that's a powerful statement. He that ruleth his spirit is greater than a man that taketh a city. Now, the reason that God can't bless some people is because they cannot rule and control their tongue and their spirit. Have you ever met anybody like that? Amen. So the fruit of gentleness is so important. The only way you will ever have joy is to be gentle. The only way you will ever have peace is to show love. When you violate any one of these principles, you can't have the others. Put the fruit of gentleness up there. See that cluster right there? That's a cluster of grapes. They all clusters together. And the wine is in the cluster. We say the wine is in the bottle. No, the wine is in the cluster. And they all flow together. I gave you a little handout several weeks ago on there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, and they all taste of love. Love is the juice that flows to all the other fruit. Joy is love with happiness. Peace is love in total relaxation. Long-suffering is love under fiery trials. Amen. Gentleness is love when the roughness is gone. You can be a strong man with rough hands, a working man, and still have a gentle spirit about you. Goodness is love that's shown toward others. Faith is love trusting God in obedience. Meekness is love with humility. Temperance is love under self-control. He that ruleth, that is slow to anger, he's a mighty man. He's stronger than a man that can take a city. And that's what God wants us to develop in us as Christians. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if we don't work to develop this, then our lights don't shine bright. And I will be very honest and very transparent with you. I have more problems in this area of my life than I do in any area. Constantly abiding in Christ and bearing this fruit that he says we're to bear. And the reason is because I have flesh. And my flesh tries to rise up, and so does yours. And you can get blindsided. I call it being blindsided by the devil. But some people, they don't have gentleness. And because of that, they don't have any joy. They don't have any peace. They all flow together. They don't have any self-control. And that's all because they're not gentle. It does matter how you live. It does matter how you treat your spouse. It does matter how you treat your children. It does matter how you treat other people. Gentleness. You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. And I'm looking at a couple right now. The wedding bells are going to be ringing soon. And so this is very important. It's not only for newlyweds, but it's important for all of us that have been married for a good while. It's important for everyone that wants to be a Christian that you know what these fruit are and that you show these characteristics. Gentleness. This is a great fruit because a person that bears this characteristic, they will be a very fruitful person. Point number one, what does gentleness mean? What does it mean to be gentle? Well, to be gentle means to be tame. Amen. We speak of a gentle horse. He's not a wild horse. So if we bear the fruit of gentleness, then we have a nature about us that has been tamed by Jesus. We're not like the world. We're not even of the world. We're just in the world. And Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I pray you'll not take them out of the world, but that you'll keep them from the evil of the world. We're in the world, but we're here to be a light. And we can never be the light we should be. Be that city set on a hill for others to see our Father's good works if we don't bear these fruit. So if you bear the fruit of gentleness, then we have the nature of Christ. That wild nature that we used to have, that was of the devil, but it's been tamed by the greater one. I don't know if you had a wild nature about you or not, but see, I know I did. I mean, I'm a combat veteran. I was a sinner. I did things that sinners do. I went to the clubs. I did anything I wanted to do as a sinner. If it pleased me, I did it. And there were some things I wouldn't do because I had some good upbringing. And there were some places I wouldn't go because I had a good Christian heritage. So God can tame you. That's what I'm trying to say. He did tame me. Hallelujah. So in the dictionary, we read of gentle folk. A gentleman or a gentlewoman originally was a person of noble birth. So a man of noble birth was addressed as a gentleman. And so when we speak of gentleness, we speak of a noble birth. Now think about it. We've been born again, born from above, born by the Spirit of God. So we certainly should bear this characteristic called gentleness. We know who we are, we know what we are, and we know where we're headed. We are the children of God. Amen? So we know what it is to be gentle. When we think of gentleness, the first thing that I think of is something that's not rough. Gentleness and roughness, they do not go together. They just cannot go together. It takes more character to be gentle than it does to be unkind, to be thoughtless, and to be crude. You ever met people? They're just thoughtless. They're crude. They're not gentle. You don't want to be around people like that, do you? Now, look at our culture today and look at the world of politics, how rough and crude they are, a lot of them. They can't even agree on anything. And that has invaded our culture. So it's very important that the church rise up and start developing these fruit of the Spirit, because we're the only light some people will ever see. I don't know if you saw what went on today in the news, but for the first time on national TV in a long time, I saw some people come together because of what took place today. But we are a nation founded upon biblical principles, and we need to get back to those Judeo-Christian values. In our society, we have what we call a gentleman's agreement. This is an agreement that is an unsigned agreement. It is an unsecured agreement. It's a gentleman's word that his word is his bond, and you can trust that man. I had a business arrangement years ago. I needed a building for a business I was going to start. And I went to the man and I told him, I said, I don't want to sign a contract. In my business, in the corporate world, and what I did, all I ever did was contracts. That's what I did. I signed contracts. And I had to learn what it meant and what was binding and how binding it was. And I had to be very careful what I signed my name to, because I was signing that corporation as their representative, and they had to live up to what I signed. But I told this man, I said, I've done business with you many years. I want to rent this building from you, and I don't want a contract. I want to reach out, give you my word, shake your hand, and agree to it. And I said, you tell me how much you want for your building, and I'll give you a 30 days notice if I decide to leave, if you need your building, and you give me 30 days to relocate, and I'll do it. And all I want to do is shake your hand on it, if you'll agree with me like that. He put his hand out like that. I shook his hand. That was it. I used the building till I sold that business. The man I sold it to went across there, said, I just bought everything out that Jerry had. He says, I have it all now. The man said, I'd like my building back then. I had an agreement with him. And that man had to relocate. You know, so it was an agreement that was made on my word and his word. And people see things in your life. Now, I could have drawn up that massive contract, and we would have had all of that on a legal term. But I remember a statement my daddy told me. He said, son, your word is your bond. Be a man of your word. And so I just shook the man's hand. He shook mine. We're still friends today. And I guarantee if I needed a building today, and if he had it, I could go get it from him. God's a good God. Amen. You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. Look at Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Isn't that something? That's why we say I'm blessed and highly favored in this place. I say, look at three people and tell them you are blessed and highly favored of God. See, to have God's favor on you is more important than somebody just depositing a great amount of gold and silver in an account for you. If you don't know how to manage it, you'll lose it anyway. If you got mismanagement mentality, you'll always digress to zero. If you got an entitlement mentality, you think you're entitled to something that you didn't work for, you'll always digress to zero. If you got a victim mentality, I never thought, no one ever gave me a chance, I'll never have a chance, you'll always digress to zero. I don't care what you give. A man must be a man. A woman must be a woman. They must have some integrity. They must have some character. And the only way you can ever have it is to bear these fruit. And this fruit called the fruit of gentleness is a great fruit. A Christian should be a gentleman or gentlewoman, and their word should mean something. So if you owe somebody something, pay your honest debt. That's what the Bible says. Okay? How can you hope to operate in spiritual gifts when you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit? Owe no man. Pay your honest debts so people can trust you and people can believe your word. Yeah. If as anybody I owe anything, the only reason I owe it to you is because I don't know I owe you. If I borrow something, I always made it a point to pay it back. If I move something, guess what? Mother said, put it back where you got it, son. She's in heaven now, but I haven't forgot what she said. And those things, they help you develop a character where people can trust you. Amen. A gentleman's word is his faith, and you can trust his word because of his faith. So if we know a good tree by the fruit it bears, we ought to be good. Amen. So gentleness is essential to the life of the Christian. To be gentle is to be kind, is to be considerate of others. Others should see that our hearts are pure. Others should see that our hearts are tender. And they should see that by our action. I hope I never come across as a pastor that I'm trying to manipulate you to get anything out of you. If you think that's me, you've missed me 1,000 miles. If I can't motivate you, then I'm certainly not going to try to manipulate you, because I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm trying to get something in you called the Word of God. And I have to study it and get it in myself before I can deposit it into someone else. That is a transference of through knowledge, through the laying on of hands, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you can come and soak up knowledge if it's anointed. And I pray constantly, Lord, help me to be anointed. Anybody can be rude and anybody can be crude. To be a gentle person is a great achievement. And guess what? You're going to have a bad hair day sometime. You're going to have times that you just don't feel like being kind. Anybody else ever like that except me? Let me see your hand. You feel a little rough place? I asked somebody today, I said, what's wrong with you? They said, nothing. I said, yeah, there's something wrong with you. I said, my spirit tells me there's something wrong with you. They said, there's nothing wrong. I said, well, okay. My spirit says otherwise. About an hour later, they told me what it was. See, when you know a person is gentle and that they can, and then when you see something else in their life that is not their normal characteristic, then you know something is wrong there. And it was something they had gone through and they shared it with me. Let me tell you a little story about the gentle healing touch, how great it is. I remember when my mother was still living and I was up there one day and I was working just about as hard as I could to fix things. And mother, you know, she was just telling me everything that was going on. I said, Mother, please quit complaining. Please quit telling me all these negative things. I'm working as hard as I can to fix these things. Please don't tell me all those negatives. Just let me work until I fix it. And she came over to where I was. She gently kissed me on the cheek. In her gentle words, gentle kiss said more than words could ever say. And before I left that place, I went over and I said, Mother, I'm sorry if I was harsh. I'm sorry if I was abrasive. I just wanted to get things fixed. because I've got to drive 60 miles and it'll be a while before I can get back. And I just wanted to get things fixed, Mother. And she said, son, you weren't harsh. You weren't abrasive. Thank you, son, for all you have done for me. And she kissed me by. That, my friend, is gentleness. I didn't display it. I'm just working, trying to get it done. But she did. She was very gentle and kind. And I have to pray. I have to do it constantly. Lord, help me to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, you know my lying down. You know my rising up. You know my personality. You know everything about me. You know more about me than I know. And you know I struggle with this, Lord. So why shouldn't I be transparent with God? He's the only one that can fix it anyway. Amen. Lord, help me to show love and to be long-suffering, to be gentle toward others. Look at Titus 3 and 1. Titus 3 and 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. First time I read that, I cringed inside. I'm not subject to principalities and powers when it means to spiritual wickedness and principalities and power. That doesn't mean that if you've got a New King James Version or an updated version, it says rulers and government authorities, magistrates. Look, put them in mind to be subject to rulers and government authorities, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's a hard characteristic to live up to sometimes because of the pressures of life and the demands that are placed on our life sometimes. And I've got to get this done. And if we're not careful, we get out of our comfort zone and we don't produce and bear the fruit we should bear. So we live in a generation today that does not understand gentleness. And so it's something you will have to work on, and I can promise you that. Amen. When most people think of gentleness, they think of weakness. They think if you're gentle, that you're a weak person. But you can be gentle. But if you're gentle, I promise you one thing, you are not a weak person. Amen. It takes strength to be gentle. Look at that scripture again, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, I want to tell you there is strength in gentleness. Moses was a meek man. But he was a leader of 3,000 people. He was a strong man. Hallelujah. You can be strong. You can be a warrior. And you can still be gentle. And you have to know that. Look at Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge. This is another one that I kept on my desk before me. In my little plan. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now look at this next one. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that sheddeth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I told that person today, it was being so quiet, they said, I'm just being quiet. I said, no, I know what's going on. Something's bothering your spirit. I said, but you know it is in the Bible, it says study to be quiet. My wife will ask me sometimes, why are you being so quiet? I said, the scriptures say, study to be quiet. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to work through something that's inside of me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to get through this thing, and I'm studying to be quiet. And even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So sometimes the best thing you can say is nothing. You know, you have to watch your words. It's like an arrow. Once you shoot it, you can't call it back. He just cannot call those words back. That saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. How many have been hurt by words? How many have been cut real deep by words? You better believe it. Amen. But many times it's better to say nothing to be gentle and to be long-suffering just like Jesus. Point number two, what does gentleness do? What does gentleness do? Amen. For one thing, gentleness overlooks the faults of another person. Let me say that again. Gentleness overlooks the faults of another person. Some of us, we can easily see the faults of another person. But many times when we look at ourselves in the same way, we might find that we have more faults than they have. Jesus said, how can you cast the speck or the mote out of one man's eye if you have a plank or beam in your eye? So we all have to take an inward look sometimes before we take that outward look. Am I bearing this fruit? And what's that person going through? Amen. That's why we're studying the fruit of the Spirit, so we can look at it. We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the human spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He has all these characteristics, but it's the fruit we're trying to develop in our human spirit. See, when you were born again, your spirit was born again. Your spirit was dead in sin and transgressions. So was mine. So was everyone before they were born again. You who were dead in sin and transgression, has he quickened or made alive by his spirit. And so once we're connected to the true vine, we'll start bearing this fruit. Amen. We want to grow in God. We want to do this as we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. A lot of times we think of, you know, our soul, we think that, you know, the part of man that the spirit, the soul is the word psyche, psychological. That's where we get that word. Pneuma, that's the new you, the spirit of man. And so you have to understand that the soul of man is his mind, his will, and his emotions. With your mind, you think. With your willpower, you decide. With your emotions, you react. And gentleness, it's an emotion. It's really what it is, the fruit of the Spirit. But that's how we know this fruit. Can you control the inner man? Gentleness means not to be sharp, not to be bitter. You cannot be bitter and be gentle at the same time. It's impossible. Because if you get bitter, then you have no peace. See that cluster? If you get bitter, you have no joy. If you get bitter, you just stepped out of love. You just stepped out of God. Amen. I did too. We need to get that out of our heart. Don't let bitterness and anger and wrath rule your life. Let these fruit rule your life. Amen. Gentleness is an inward quality. The roughest hands in this country can be gentle because of an inward quality called gentleness. The most uneducated person in the world can show gentleness because gentleness is an inward quality. Number three, God deals with us in gentleness. That's how God deals with us. He's a gentle God. He's a God of love. Amen. I'm glad he does. Look at Isaiah 66:13. As one whom mother comforted, speaking of God, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, God has gentleness as a mother has gentleness. Look at 2 Samuel 22:36. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great. You want to be great? Do you want to be great? Yeah. Really great? Yeah. Develop this fruit called gentleness. You'll have to work on it, and so will I. Great people are gentle people. They don't have to push their way to get to the top. In the Marine Corps, they had a saying. It says, some people are obstacles, and some are stepping stones. I just decided I wouldn't live like that. Nobody is going to be a stepping stone. You might try to stop me, but I'll work my way around it. But I try not to hurt anybody on the way there. I found out something a long time ago. I don't have to push my way to get to the top. If God wants me somewhere, he'll get me there. I've had thousands of people try to stop me from preaching. I'm preaching. I'll be preaching until I decide, well, God decides I'm going home. Hallelujah. You can't let people stop you, but at the same time, you've got to love them. And you'll have to develop this quality called gentleness. Great people are gentle. Because of their gentleness, God has established them to make them great. You can be gentle toward people, and you can be angry toward the devil. The Bible says that Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God exalted him above all his fellows with the oil of gladness. So you can be glad. You can be happy. You can be full of joy. If you're gentle toward people, then you can be angry at the devil at the same time. You can be fierce when it comes to fighting disease. And you can be gentle when it comes to people. See, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. Our battle is with the spirits of darkness. And whenever you learn that, you got the battle won right there. Hallelujah. We need to stay suited up. We need the gifts of the Spirit, but at the same time, we must have the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. You want joy? Be gentle. Watch your words. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. See, all the fruit flow together, and if you have joy by the answer of your mouth, then we need to answer others with gentleness. It's that cluster. Put the cluster back up there, brother. I want you to see that. It's like love. Everything flows out of that love. God is love, so all of these fruit are flowing out of this cluster. And that's why the church is a cluster of people. It's a body. And all of it flows together. And I want to be known as a church that loves. Amen? But if you're harsh and bitter and abrasive, then you're not going to have a lot of love. You're not going to have a lot of joy. And you won't have a lot of peace in your heart. And there won't be much in your home. And there won't be much peace in your life. You'll have to work at these, I promise you. Amen? There have been times that, you know, I had to check myself. I would work all day in the business world, and I'd keep those scriptures before me. And I was very careful how I said things to people. And I noticed one day, I went in the house, and the kids said something, and my wife said something, and I snapped quick. And I thought about that. I said, Jerry, you've been so kind to those people all day long, purposefully. And you came home to the most important thing in your entire life, other than the Lord. And you were not as kind in your home. And what I realized is sometimes we sort of let our guard down. We think, well, I've done all of that. And you had to put your best foot forward, you know. You heard that saying? But when you go home, it's home. And if we aren't careful, then we will say something abrasive and unkind to the person that means the very most in our life. So what I'm talking about is very relevant to where you live and how happy you will be in your marriage, in your home, in your relationships, on your job, in the marketplace. It has something to do with everything that you do. And we really have to work on this. Point number four, God's gentleness will make you great. That's why this fruit is so important. Look at James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? The wisdom that comes from God, comes from above. He teaches us on how to have a right relationship with God, how to have a right relationship with our fellow man, and how to have a right relationship with ourselves. Put Galatians 5:22 up there, David. Look at those first three fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those first three fruit are toward God. You have the love of God. You have the joy of the Lord. You have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Look at those next three. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. You're long-suffering with other people. You're gentle with other people. You're good to other people. Okay? Three toward God, three toward your fellow man, three toward the inward man. You want to be happy inside and full of joy? You'll have to have these last three qualities. Faith, go to the next one. Some translations say faithfulness, faithful. Faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. They're all inward qualities. So you have to work on these, the inward. Not only is gentleness an inward quality that God puts there with a new birth, but gentleness is a mark of greatness. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present, am among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. See, as Christians, we have to have meekness and gentleness. And among the people of God, gentleness creates greatness. You want to be great? Be gentle. Now look at this right here, because this is where the rubber really meets the road. When I read this scripture and I saw this one day, it really impacted me, because Christians have power and authority over the rulers of darkness. Watch this right here. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all people, apt to teach, patient. Now, look at verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. A man of God has to be meek, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, look at the next verse. This is the one where I almost shuddered that a Christian could be taken like this. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When you don't bear the fruit of the Spirit, all of a sudden you are taken captive by the devil at his will. You have power, you have authority over all the power of darkness. But when you fail, or I fail to bear this fruit, Satan immediately moves in. His demons move in. God is drawn to the positive. Demons are drawn to negative. And you better believe it. But there are people, the devil didn't have anything to do with your situation. You did it. Amen. I'm to be instruct in meekness, that people may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil that are taken captive at his will. So God has not called me to beat you on the head. Amen. God has called me to preach the word, and faith works by love. He's called me to love his people. And as a servant of God, I have to be gentle. And I have to teach, and I have to be patient. But that doesn't mean I have to agree with you when you're wrong. It means I have to set things in order. And that's like the head of the house. God holds him accountable to put things in order. How? According to his word. And that's the mark of a great person, that will take their stand and they will say, this is what the Bible says and this is what we're going to do. And that's the mark of a great leader. And so a preacher, he must teach and preach the word of God and let people know that faith works by love and God watches over his word to perform it. What will the fruit of gentleness do? Look at Psalms 18:35. Thou hast also given me thy shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. I like that. The gentleness, that's two scriptures we've looked at. The gentleness has a quality about it that makes you great. You don't have to seek to be great. God will set you to be great. God will see this quality in your life like he did in Moses and other great leaders of the Bible, and he set them in their set place. Look at what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus was placing a commendation on those that would be meek and gentle, because meekness is gentleness. Jesus said that the meek shall inherit the earth. The hard man may think he's got it, but he doesn't. It belongs to the meek. The meek will inherit the earth. It belongs to us because it's the fruit of gentleness. And in our daily conduct with people, Jesus wants us to be merciful. Jesus wants us to be gentle. Jesus wants us to be kind. Jesus wants us to be just like him. Look at Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit, I challenge you, memorize this like you know your ABCs. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Say it with me. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let us stand. Hallelujah. There you have it, the fruit of gentleness. Hallelujah.
I love
you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to develop this fruit in my life. Help us, Lord, as a church, to develop this great fruit. Well, this is not the kind of sermon that will cause you to run and shout. It just causes you to walk straight. It'll cause you, Lord, to be able to get along with your fellow man and have an inner peace. Hallelujah. Father, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Sing it, church. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Yes, I do, Lord.
And I lift my voice.
I worship you, Lord.
To worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice. Take joy.
Help me, Lord.
Take joy,
my King.
In what you
hear. That's something you want to talk to the Lord about? Come on down to his altar. If the Spirit speaks to you and you say, Lord, I need to develop these characteristics. Talk to him where you are. Come to the altar.
I love you, oh, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship.
I worship you, Master. Help me, Lord,
my
to bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Rejoice.
Help me, Lord, to be more like you.
Take joy, my King, oh, my King, sweet sound.